are supposed to go up against. And it's for our benefit. But, he demonstrates this to his disciples. I suppose if you look at this as a parable, it's also worth noting, people also ask this question. Well, then, why have a man teach you anything? Why not just go directly to God? And that's a legitimate question. And one ought to go directly to God. But also, remember that God has ordained that he should speak his word through men. And that if you're speaking to the right man, you are going directly to God. And that person doesn't even have to realize it. What I mean is, when someone's speaking the word of God and teaching the truth about the scriptures and so on and so forth, they are speaking in God's place. God is giving the bread through them to distribute to others. I mean, if Jesus wanted to, he could have simply, just done all the ministering himself. And all the handing out himself. Of course, he was but one man. But God is one spirit. And of course, that's a lot bigger and a lot more, it's not like the spirit can't do the work of many men. It can do the work of all men. So the Spirit of God is not limited the way Jesus was. So why does God continue after the Holy Ghost to use men? Well, if he wasn't using us, then there would be no place for us. I mean, what would we do? Why even, we become Christians and we become God's servants that we may do things. And that by the Spirit of God, we may act in concert with God. And as his agents and so on and forth. It is because God works through men so that men can benefit. So that men can fulfill a destiny which he has laid out for them. God taught me many things directly. And many things he taught me through men. Many things he taught me through men who didn't even know they were teaching me something. The things he taught me through women. When I say men, I don't just mean males. I mean humans. But I've been taught through many. Not necessarily all as teachers, sitting down and instructing me. Certainly not. I've learned from children, but children have not been my teachers. Though they were my teachers. But not as a position of authority. And I don't desire authority over anyone as a teacher either. Neither any more than the disciples who handed out the bread were being authority over the multitudes. There is authority in God. In the church over others. But be careful. Jesus said, he that will be greatest must become the least and must become the servant of all. And I just don't see that in the way a lot of churches are executed. I don't see a lot of, we are servants and all this. It's like all they do is serve themselves. I've only been in a very few churches where I've seen a minister who is truly a servant of the people, as opposed to the people really serving him. Meaning, the benefits he gets from them are much greater than the benefits he gives. There's something out of balance. A man in authority in the scriptures is giving a lot of himself. Whereas I look at people who serve in the churches and I see men who take a lot and give only a little. And a lot of times I see they give a little, and what they give is overpriced. Way overpriced. Beyond what it's worth. They put too much value on that, which is not worth much. Well, without digressing any further, we'll keep that in mind when we come to chapter 16. And now Jesus has gone out in the mountain to pray, and now he sent the disciples away in a ship. 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That's verse 24. 25, and the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. It's very late at night. That, I think it goes by every 3 hours. It's like, so it's 1 to 9, it's like 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and so it'd be like 3 to 6. This is like the fourth watch of the night is the last part of the night, from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. I mean, that is deep night. So he comes out walking on the water. That's, right? That's freaky, scary. Somebody's walking on the water. And they, verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Scary. I mean, naturally, of a man to see someone walking out on the sea, even, you know, I can't be critical of them. Honestly, I can't. Because I think that's pretty scary. You know? I mean, yeah, well, if you know, in hindsight, oh, it's Jesus. What do we have to be afraid of? And he doesn't rebuke them. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And he's calling out to them from the sea, walking out on the sea. I mean, because that, you'd have to feel like that's got to be a ghost. I mean, aside from, you know, Jesus can do miracles. He just fed the 5,000. You know, he's never shown the whole walking on the water thing to them. And so, it was unexpected. It's not the sort of thing you would just expect to happen, you know, obviously. He'd ridden around in ships, you know, they were riding in boats. He didn't like just, you know, when he preached from a boat, he didn't, like when he preached, he didn't walk out on the water and start preaching to people. You know, because like, if you want to talk to a large group of people, it always helps if they move back a bit and they don't crowd you, because that causes the sound to be deadened by all the people it has to go through first before getting spread out. But the thing to do, and the why he did it, is he would go on the ship to preach sometimes, because you would back up and get some space and you could speak to a large group of people and they couldn't get closer. They could only get so close, because people instinctively want to get close to the speaker.